Blog Talk Radio.
Can We Talk Fridays? I am your host, Raz Williams, coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Guys, you can hit us up at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you may email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. I want to thank those of you that have been listening to our podcast and supporting the show. We're growing slowly but surely. The show is getting more popular, and we just want to say thanks for all your support. And I want to give a shout out to the AFLC Church family. I want to give a shout out to Eric Douglas, Pastor Kenyon. We've got Marvin, we've got Alicia, Dainika. If I miss any names, I apologize. But, you know, big up to our, you know, East Coast family as well. We've got East Coast listeners. We want to shout out to Sonia Shari back in Maryland, Candy in Maryland, KB in College Park, Maryland. And a shout-out to our international listeners. We've got people in Germany. We've got people listening in London, England, and other parts of the world, such as South Africa. And, yeah, it's growing, so pretty happy about that. Guys, listen, man, keep listening to the show, and we want to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments, or you want to hear us talk about a particular topic, then please email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Well, guys, as you know, we've been focusing on relationships over the past couple of weeks, and I was thinking about some past shows, and from time to time, I kind of get my thoughts together, and I have a few ideas that I want to share with the audience. And here's what I wrote down this week, some of my special thoughts. And here's what it is: love can be long lasting, but people lack the skills, they lack the know-how to sustain a relationship. Love is a good ingredient to build upon, but if you don't know how love works and how to sustain love, then ultimately you will fail and fall out of love. And if you don't know how to build and sustain a lasting relationship, then ultimately your relationship will fall and collapse. That's why the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, and that my people perish due to lack of knowledge. And that's Hosea 4:6. Guys, relationships are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, because people go in not knowing what is required to maintain it. They think that attraction in and of itself is going to be enough. But it's going to get to a point where the novelty of the attraction, the buzz of the attraction, is going to start dissipating. You may still be attracted to them, to that person, but chances are it won't be with the same eagerness or the same enthusiasm. So, guys, you're going to have skills to keep the passion alive and to keep the love alive in that relationship. So those are my thoughts right there. Another thing I was thinking about is that God created relationships. He was, you know, relationships were supposed to model God. And God's relationships are based upon principles, godly principles, principles such as selflessness, principles such as true friendship, principles like true love, servanthood, understanding the needs of the opposite sex so you can meet those needs, understanding that you're supposed to be different as individuals so when those differences show up in the relationship, rather than you using them as a reason for splitting up, you use them as a basis to balance each other out so that you can have a balanced relationship, because men and women are different in the way they feel. They're different in the way they perceive. They're different in the way they communicate. And if you don't understand these differences, you'll allow them to become the basis for argument. So with that said, guys, those are just some of my thoughts. And, you know, like I usually have some thoughts from time to time. But with that said, I want to talk today about going through trials and testing. I'm going to say that one more time. Going through trials and testings and struggles in life. One of the most difficult parts of the Christian life is the fact that becoming a disciple of Christ does not make us immune to life's trials and tribulations and challenges. Why would a good and loving God allow us to go through such things as death of a child, disease, injury to ourselves and our loved ones, financial hardships, worry, fear? Surely if he loved us, he will take all these things away from us. And after all, doesn't loving us mean he wants our lives to be easy and comfortable? Well, no, it does not. The Bible clearly teaches us that God loves those who are his children, and he works all things together for our good. And that's Romans 8:28. So that must mean that trials and tribulations and testings and challenges that we go through in life, he allows in our lives as part of the working together for our good. Therefore, for the believer, all trials and tribulations must have a divine purpose. So, guys, tonight's going to be a good show. So kick back, relax, and hear what we have to say tonight. I want to introduce my co-host for this evening. And I believe we have Nikki on the phone. Nikki, how you doing?
I'm fine, Raz.
Awesome, Nikki. Nikki, hey, you had a good week this week or what?
Say it again.
I said you had a good week.
Yeah, I actually had an excellent week. Ran into a couple trials myself this weekend, as the week ended, but other than that, you know, as long as I'm alive and I can serve the Most High, yeah, my week is good.
Awesome. Now, Nikki, what do you think of what's your thoughts on today's topic?
I think it's right on time, considering personally some of the things that I'm some of the things that I have just encountered as far as today and the last couple of days. I think it's right on time because some people have the illusion that once you get saved, then, you know, you don't have any more trials and tribulations, but that's not what the Bible says. And, you know, trials and tribulations or trials and testings, as you titled it, they come to stretch you and to stretch your faith. And once you're able to master and overcome the trial and the test, you know, you move on to the next level. And, you know, but with the next level comes more trials and tests. But the Bible does say in Ecclesiastes that there is a season for everything. So.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Well, good to have you back on the show, Nikki. Always good to have you. You definitely have some real comments. And, you know, guys, Nikki's one of those real – I got to say, man, Nikki's a good friend to me. She's one of those real people that you would ever meet in this world, and she has a good heart. So, you know, I just want to give a shout-out to you, Nikki, being my friend and, you know, having my back. Definitely want to thank you for that. So good to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Raz. No problem. I mean, you're an easy guy to have their back. I mean, I think that we are of the same spirit, so we relate easily to one another. And I do. I appreciate your friendship as well.
Absolutely. Next, we've got Minister Rodney Fulton on the line. How you doing, Rodney?
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing good, sir. How about you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good, brother. this is a good topic you guys are talking about today. I think it's needed. Like Minister Nikki was saying, you know, just because you get saved don't mean that you are exempt from trials and tribulations. Matter of fact, when you get saved, the heat is really on. You know, so I think it's a good topic. It's amazing how I talk to so many people during this week that are going through some amazing things, some hard-pressed challenges. And at the same time, I'm facing some hard-pressed challenges, you know. But the thing about it is that we have hope, and our hope is in Christ. And, you know, Jesus said that we will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. So we're going to have those trials. We're going to have those testings, you know, and the object is to go through it right. You know, I think that's the key for a lot of believers. Is when we have a trials and tribulations, the key that you want to do, you want to go through it right. You want to go through it trusting God, stand on his word, growing in faith, because every trial that we go through is something that you take from that trial. It's something that you gain, you know, when you go through it right. You know, and when you don't go through it right, you're going to go right back around. You're going to go through it again until you pass the test. So my thing is, that's what I've been encouraging my people that I've been talking to this week. Go through it right the first time. That way you ain't got to keep going through the same thing. Now, there's going to be other challenges, other trials and tribulations. But, you know, you're always being stretched. And especially when God is taking you to another level, you're really going to be stretched, and your faith has to grow. You know, faith is like a muscle. You know, the more you exercise faith, the stronger your faith is. You know, just like working out, you know, going to the gym. You know, the more you work and sculpt your body, the bigger, the stronger you get. You know, that's how your faith is. Your faith grows. You know, the more you use it, the more you exercise it. And that's what faith is for. Faith is now, for the now situation that you're facing. You know, faith, I'm not believing God for tomorrow. I'm believing God now. You know, faith is now. So, you know, I just want to put my little two cents in there.
Absolutely. And, Rodney, what do you think? We had a really good show last week, man. What do you think of the last week's show on spiritual warfare?
What'd you say? Can you repeat that, please?
What do you think of last week's show on spiritual warfare? We had a pretty good show last week.
I think last week spiritual warfare was good. I think it's, like I said, it's something that definitely need to be discussed. It need to be discussed often. People need to be reminded that we are in a spiritual warfare, whether we believe in the spiritual realm or not. We are in a spiritual warfare, and the Bible says, you know, teaches us to watch and pray. And one of the definitions for that word watch is to be alert spiritually. You know what I'm saying? And we need to be alert in the spirit realm, so we know how to deal with, you know, with the wiles and trickeries of the enemy, you know, and just, you know, and walking through that and knowing how to fight. You know, it's kind of like having guns in your house and you don't know how to use them. And that's what, you know, a lot of Christians have the Bible, you know, which is the word of God, is a weapon, but they don't know how to use it. You know, the word of God is the weapon that we fight with, and that's how we deal with the devils, with the word of God. We enforce the authority. We enforce his defeat with the word of God. And, you know, it's a shame that you have guns in your house and an intruder come in your house. You don't know how to use the guns to protect yourself, you know. So that's just a little something. But I think spiritual warfare is something good that we talked about. I think it was a good show last week. I hope people were blessed. I hope people were enlightened with the fact that we are in spiritual warfare. And also, you know, don't be afraid of it. You know, that's another key. You know, you have to be afraid of spiritual warfare and things of that nature, you know, but it's real.
Absolutely. And I truly believe that last week's show and this week's show and trials and testing and shows go hand in hand. I believe we're right on time, right on the money. Okay, man. So listen, next we have Mr. Wani Ambrose, one of the original members of Can We Talk Radio. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Raz. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Wani. I'm kind of hyped tonight, man. How about you?
That's cool. I'm good. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm ready to get into this because this is something that we deal with. you know, every day pretty much, like everyone was saying, you know, as to get to the next level, you're going to have to go through trials, and the way you go through them, you know, the way you go through them is important. What you learn from it is important. And, you know, if you don't get it right the first time, you probably won't graduate and will have to go through it again. So it's just good to be aware of what's going on.
Absolutely.
During trial. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Good point, Monty. Well, listen, guys, the number to call us if you have a question or comment is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or if you're kind of shy, you can email us at canwetalkradio@gmail.com. Well, guys, before we go into today's topic, of course, I want to go into the news, and I want to hand you over to Mr. Ronnie Ambrose and see what we got going on today. Actually, Ronnie, you may want to check your line. There's a little static on your line right now.
Okay, let me see. Let's see, is that better?
That's much better, sir.
Okay.
Well,
today I'm going to go over this article that I found. I'm sure some people are aware that in Egypt, they've been in, like, civil unrest for a couple of weeks. They lost their president that they voted in, and there's a lot of unrest going on, a lot of rioting in the streets, a lot of protesters going against police, and a lot of damage. And we all know that was the Muslim Brotherhood that they put someone in office, but that person got voted out, and so now the Islamists are you know, rioting and trying to get their guy out of custody and back into office. So the story goes, but the reason why I brought it up is what's not being covered on the news is the destruction and the targeting of the churches out there, because there's like Coptic Christians out there. And so the story goes, dozens of churches have been burnt down across Egypt over recent weeks, with more than 40 churches said to have come under attack amid the widespread unrest in the country. The unrest came to a climax this week when military personnel moved to squash the Muslim Brotherhood protesters who had occupied various regions, calling for attacks and violence against authorities and Christians. More than 500 people were killed this Wednesday. Since the former president Mohamed Morsi was forced down from power in the country, the Islamic Brotherhood protesters have been occupying dozens of public squares and areas in the country over the past 6 weeks. According to this doctor and CEO of the SAT7 International, protesters have been aggressively calling for the reinstatement of Morsi, who is currently being detained by Egyptian military, facing charges related to an abuse of power, including offering substantial material and intelligence support to Hamas. And so, Morsi was accused of abusing his position of power in the country and strongly favoring Muslims, and particularly from his Muslim Brotherhood party in the country. Reports from inside the country have described that the protesters over the recent weeks have been Islamists, calling for violence against the army, the police, the liberals, and in many cases specifically against the Christian Coptic groups. The Copts and the Coptic Christians and churches have been targeted in a widespread attack by the Muslim Brotherhood supporters across Egypt over recent weeks, with reports of attacks emerging almost on a daily basis. Islamist leaders have blamed Coptic Christians for their support of protests against Morsi when he was in power, despite the fact that the Christians made up only a small minority of the Egyptians protesting against his rule. And so, you know, just put this in everyone's ear, and, you know, whoever might hear this, to know that, you know, there's a lot of unrest going on. the Islamic groups, you know, what they're trying to do is state their Sharia law. And, you know, if you just get on your map, you'll find out there's more Islamic nations than you think. And I'm not saying that like, oh, no, we need to watch out for Islamists. I'm just showing, I just want everyone aware of the climate and of how much the religion and politics are merging in other places. And this is what it's causing, because they want to instate the Sharia law and they want to make their nations Muslim nations. So if they're Islamists and they're pushing for a Muslim nation, that's their merging church and state, you know. And so just putting that in the air, and not to mention that, you know, they're taking this time to also target and burn down and kill a lot of, you know, Christian believers that are in Egypt right now. So I just wanted to, you know, put that out there. If anyone has a comment on the panel, you guys feel free to say something about it.
Definitely. I do want to say that we should definitely, as believers, we should call on our politicians, the President Obama, for what it's worth, to make the survival of Christians, Jews, and other religious minorities a priority, you know, in the Middle East, man. I mean, because, radical Islamism is targeting non-Muslims, their homes, their places of worship, for violence. And their very existence are being threatened on a daily basis, like you mentioned. And I think, you know, I'm reading in the news and looking at church burnings in Egypt from pastors in Iran being sentenced to death. You know, it's just crazy. Right. So we really got to pray for our brothers and sisters out there. I mean, we're in the last of the last days, and the Bible warns us about these kind of things happening. So that's pretty much my comment.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, just like you said, you know, this is just to raise the level of awareness. You know, we're out here where we really don't get sweated. You know, our persecution isn't that high, you know, out here. But, you know, just to put in the mind of the believers, there's some people that are, you know, they're losing their lives because of what they believe. And so maybe we should keep them, lift them up in prayer, you know, and open our eyes and take this is a responsibility and a duty, and just take it a little more seriously. And once again, just keep those brothers out there in prayer, not just the Christians, but, you know, humanity as a whole, because they're obviously under the influence of the enemy. So, you know, that's pretty much the news.
Awesome job, Ronnie, as always. Anyone have any comments about that? Minister Rodney?
Excuse me. Yeah. I was checking that out on the news the other day, and you know, as soon as I was hearing about it, and, excuse me, what took place, you know, it just kind of lines up with what we was talking about last week, you know, spiritual warfare. And that's what you're seeing over there. It's spiritual warfare all day. And like Brother Ronnie was saying, we need to lift up our brothers and sisters over there in prayer, because they're under some heavy attack, heavy spiritual warfare. Like you were saying, some of them are losing their lives for their faith. You know, so in America, we're not experiencing that level, you know, of persecution, you know, that they're experiencing over there, man. And we just really need to keep them up in prayer and keep those people up in prayer as well, man, that they come into the true knowledge of God and the true life. Because right now, they really are under the influence of the enemy, you know, under the demon powers that are controlling that area. And it's you know, Bible talks about these things, you know. There's going to be, you know, a whole lot of stuff like this going on before the Lord's coming. So, you know, we as Christians have to be prepared and really keep each other lifted up in prayer. And just know, you know, they may be the minority over there as far as the Christian, but they're the ones that have the power, because our God is real. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nikki, do you have any comments about what's going on in Egypt right now?
Well, my only thought about it is if we had that type of persecution here in America, because us as believers here in America are struggling with, you know, secular things, and it's hard for some believers to even walk a fine line or a straight line, if you will. I mean, nobody's perfect, but it's hard for them, for a lot of believers or people who consider themselves Christians, to even walk a fine line or straight line without that pressure. So it kind of puts you in the frame of mind to think, if that pressure was over here, how many believers would crumble? How many believers would forsake the faith because of the pressure? I mean, when we did the show talking about homosexuality and all that, we had believers that were calling in talking about, you know, hey, who am I to judge? Or basically, hey, I've accepted, you know, people are how they are. So because so many believers here, you know, they struggle with, you know, what would seem like, you know, petty stuff to people who's getting arms and heads chopped off and speared and boiled and all that stuff. And it'll be a whole lot of people over here who were claiming that they were Christians and everything like that, if they was under that pressure, man, that I personally believe that number would drop. And maybe that's a topic that we can do one week about, if we as Americans was under that pressure, how could we handle it? So that's just my thought. It's not really a comment. It's my thought.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Yeah, probably if the number would drop. Yeah, but that time is coming, though. Ivana, you can attest to that. That time is going to come when America will look like the Middle East as far as how Christians will be persecuted. So don't be surprised. We sit here on Can We Talk. It's coming. Anyhow. Well, guys, listen, man. We're talking about going through trials, testings, and struggles. And listen, the challenges of life that we sometimes face can be very unexpected. Somehow, we developed the idea that when we go through struggles and tests and various trials, that it's a sin, or maybe some kind of indication that we're outside of the will of God. We believe that when things are not the way we think they should be, then we begin to wonder whether something is wrong with us or wrong with other people, or somehow we relate tests and challenges and struggles to sin in our lives. And yes, that can be the case due to deliberate disobedience, but there are also other reasons for this. For example, Jesus met a man who was blind, and the religious leaders at that time had already concluded what caused him to be blind. So when Jesus came into that village and the blind man cried out for help, he went to the blind man and began to address the situation. And the religious leader asked him, "Is this man blind because of the sins of his parents?" Jesus answered, "This man is not blind because of anybody's sin, but the blindness is for the glory of God." So sometimes, guys, it is possible, or could it be possible, that we need to have a different perspective when we go through struggles and testings and trials and tribulations? Because the way to look at it would be, sometimes blindness or a handicap or a problem or a challenge, tests and struggles in our lives could be connected to the glory of God. Minister Rodney, what do you think about my comment?
Yeah, I think that's so too, man, because, you know, a lot of times we do go through stuff, and it is to bring God glory in some situations, you know, especially when your faith is on trial and you have family members, you know, people who know you, people at your job, and, you know, all sorts of people watching you go through that trial, and how you handle it, you know, will bring God glory, you know. And when they see you come out, you know, that gives them hope, you know, trust in the Lord. But, you know, some things are, we can't explain. Some things we, you know, we see people go through, what we go through sometimes, you know, it is designed to bring God glory. That's my comment.
Absolutely. And, Ronnie, same comment, same question to you.
Repeat that again.
Oh, you want to repeat the question, or?
Yeah.
Well, no, I was just giving an example, analogy of how Jesus, when he met a blind man who cried out to help, and the religious leaders asked him, was this man blind because of did someone sin in his family? Maybe his parents, or maybe he sinned. And Jesus said, no, nobody sinned. No sin causes this blind situation. His blindness came upon him for God's glory to be revealed. So sometimes
That's
when
right.
we go through struggles in life, we go through testings and trials, it's for God to reveal his glory.
That's right. No, I totally agree, and that's something we have to understand. Once we start seeing that, it's not all about us and our small concept of life and wise, you know what I mean? It requires faith for us to be walking in this truth, and so sometimes you have to have faith and build up your faith by not knowing exactly, you know, what's supposed to happen, but by trusting that God's power is strong. So if something was to come upon you, you don't want to forget that, oh, well, maybe this is an opportunity for God to get the glory. You know, so you're not really worried about the details of the physical challenge or whatever the obstacle might be. You're not trying to minimize it, but if we as believers would see obstacles as an opportunity for God to get the glory or for God's work to be done through us or, you know, an opportunity for us to trust God more by putting it in his power, you know, we probably have less stress and overcome a lot more things.
Absolutely. You know, this situation revealed that, you know, revealed to me anyway, revealed the nature of God. How does blindness and problems and tests and trials in our life reveal the nature of God? And, well, nature has to do with what something is like. For example, what is God like? And the only way to know what God is like is to reveal his nature, and that is demonstrated when a test presents itself. So often testing is not demonic activity, but it's built into God's system of faith. Jesus said that God made it that the man could not see so that God's power could be revealed. So what's important is not the seeing or the blindness, but rather that God is able and God can do this work. So oftentimes God's strength, God's power, God's ability is revealed through the tests and trials that we go through. Nikki, what do you think about that?
What I think about that is it's a little bit what I believe that the story represents besides the actual event. It represents that God can do the impossible. And just think about that. How many people do you know ever on earth that was healed of complete blindness? Like, literally. So it just represents so much more than just that. And so many times, especially believers, we go through our season of trials and testing, and sometimes it looks like it's impossible. God, how am I going to get out of this? Instead of us saying, God, I'm going to give it to you because I know you're going to bring me through this. Sometimes we may be looking for or expecting one result, but maybe that's not what God has in his plan. But a lot of times we have to learn how to relinquish control of ourselves and give it over to the Father and allow him to lead us, you know, and guide us day by day. But our human nature, and especially if you're an independent person, it makes you want to know what the next step is, because human nature, we are afraid of what we don't know, and we are actually trusting in a God that we have never seen. We know that he is. We know that he exists because of the relationship that we have, because of the mountains, the trees, the birds. So we know he exists. But it's a lot easier to trust in, I know I'm going to get a paycheck every 2 weeks, or I know my wife is going to be at home cooking that dinner when I get home, you know, versus, God, I don't know where my next meal is coming from. I don't know where my next penny is coming from. I don't know how this mortgage or this rent is going to get paid. But where God has taken a lot of us at this moment is relinquish the control, because I know, I'm telling you firsthand, I've gone through it where I lost everything. God allowed me to go through a trial and a test so he could get the glory. I mean, I had pastors telling me, oh, I thought your situation was too bleak. You know what I mean? And God, man, showed up and showed out. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm talking about where me and my four children were homeless for a whole month. And it's like I didn't even know where we were going to go. And my cousin happened to call me. And it's just like, you know, I had to just daily trust in God. And things turned around, you know, to where everything worked out in my favor. But God allowed it to happen. It was nothing that I did wrong. It was on the bank. The bank tripped out. But, I mean, the bank, this particular bank, they're not a rescission bank. They rescinded the sale of my home. And, you know, I'm a single mother with four children. I don't have family that I can go and feel like, hey, me and my kids don't have, can we come and stay there? And my parents are both dead. So I really had to trust in God. Literally, he was feeding me manna on a daily basis. And that's real talk right there. So, yeah, I mean, it's the blind situation. It was a real situation, but I think it also represented that a lot of times, like I said, it represents a situation that looks impossible, that God can handle whatever it is.
Wow, that's an awesome point, Nikki. You know, another reason for tests, and Nikki, you just mentioned that, is and the reason why we have tests and challenges is because they develop our faith. Faith here on this planet is the only weapon we have against satanic forces and adverse situations that come against our lives. Faith produces confidence in life. When you lose faith, you cannot be confident. You lose faith because, you know, you become weak and you allow the forces of this earth realm to take over and destroy your life. So, guys, faith is manifested by the test that we encounter in life. And this is why sometimes God may take time to answer our prayers. He's not interested in the answer or the prayer. He can do those things, but he's interested in what are we going to be doing whilst we're waiting. Are we still going to be confident in the waiting period? So, Minister Rodney, how important is it to maintain our confidence while we're waiting when we're going through trials and struggles and testings and situations?
I think that's the key to your trial and tribulations. Your trial and tribulations, you know, it depends on you how long you want to stay in the desert, basically. You know, when you go through a trial and tribulations, man, you have to be confident in God. And like Minister Nikki was saying, you have to turn everything over to God. You know, I've walked through some things myself on a personal level, and I walked through some things with my family. And me being a man, you know, my wife, she ain't worked in 13 years. She ain't have to, because I've always taken pride in handling my business and paying all my bills and this, that, the other. But when I walked through some a couple of years ago, you know, it was really hard for me as a man, coming from a man's point of view. You know, you want to be there for your family. You want to take care of your family. But I had to get to the point to where I had to humble myself and turn it all over to God and really trust him, you know, in every area. And, you know, I had to deal with all the things that the enemy was throwing at me during that time, you know. And praise God, you know, for my wife, you know, who's my backbone and my strength, you know. But even at a certain point, you know, it just had to be me and God. Even when you're married, there's going to be some trials and tribulations with your wife. Ain't going to be able to help you. Cousin ain't going to be able to help you. You have to cross over that bridge with God, you know. And you have to maintain your faith during that time. You have to maintain your confidence in God, you know. And that's the key, you know, to whatever you're walking through, whatever you're going through. You have to keep the course. You have to keep the faith, you know. No matter what it looks like, you got to trust God and know that God is able, you know. But during the process is when, you know, the process is slow, but manifestation is sudden. And sometimes, you know, God is dealing with you in that process level. That's when God begins to work on your character, begin to work on you, begin to bring things to you that you need to deal with during that trial and tribulation. See, sometimes a trial will come in your life to humble you, You know, now God got your attention. You know what I'm saying? Now God got your attention. Now he can speak to you the way he want to speak to you because you weren't listening before. So now God allowed this trial to come. Now he got your attention. I mean, when I was in prison, you know, people kept coming across my path and trying to share Christ with me. I kept rejecting, But when I got in prison, I was talking, they was talking about giving me all this time for trafficking. I was like, whoa, you know. But then God got my attention. You know, that's when I got saved. But just to make a long story short, you know, how do you go through the trial? It's how long you're going to stay in the trial. You know, if you're in a desert place right now and you're walking through some things, you know, just allow God to work on you, man. Just allow God to build that character in you because it's producing something in you, you know. And your roots have to go deep, you know, like a palm tree. A palm tree, before it stands tall, your roots go deep, real deep. And then it sprouts up. And once that thing sprouts up, no matter what comes against it, winds, waves, whatever it is, it would not, it'll bend, but it won't break. And that's how God wants us as Christians, you know, to where we won't break under pressure, you know. And also, you know, you need to know God. You know, you need to know God. You know, it's one thing to say, I know God as Jehovah Jireh, you know, Lord my provider. But it's another thing when you truly know him as your provider, when you know him, when he's feeding you, like Sister Nikki was saying, on a daily basis, when he's sending the ravens to you to feed you. See, it's not just a confession. It's a reality that you know God. You know him intimately, you know, as Jehovah Jireh, your provider, you know. And so it's very key on keeping your confidence, you know, keeping your faith where it needs to be. And also, I do want to add this, is that when you're standing and you're believing God and you're going through a trial, you cannot speak one thing out of your mouth and then speak another thing. If you say you believe in God, leave it at that. Don't get the focusing on the situation. You know, a lot of people are problem-driven instead of promise-driven. You got to stand on the promises of God. And he'll see you through it, you know. And that's my comment.
Absolutely. And the Bible says that the promises of God are yes and amen. And that's what I think a lot of the times where when God allows tests in our lives, the enemy comes to, he starts giving us that head noise, that head shadow, and starts talking to and putting suggestions in our minds and getting us to speak out things that are contrary to what God has promised us. And therefore, he goes, aha, now I got you. And now he can use those negative words and create things and situations and make them worse. So that's a very good point, man. Ronnie, what do you think about what Minister Rodney said?
I agree with him 100%. You know, it's easy. It's easy to, you know, let's say we're dealing with a believer. It's easy to, you know, keep your head up when things are good, but you got to know the Father as well, and you have to put your trust in the Father, you know, as well, and have the same enthusiasm about what the Father can do during the trial. And so, you know, I was looking at this James right here, and it says, you know, that, you know, testing the patience, you know, the testing produces patience, but before he gives us all that, it's something that you know. Like, when you trust God, that means you know God. So you know, you have to go into whatever you're dealing with knowing that God hasn't left you, God hasn't forsaken you, and God is not tempting you. And if you are being tested by God, it's only to strengthen you. And so, you know, how exactly it's going to turn out, you know, we'll see. But I'm knowing that the Father is with me. I know that I'm in obedience, and I know that, you know, if I'm saying no weapon formed against me shall prosper, I got to remember that during the trials as well. And so knowing God is only going to test you to produce more patience is what we got to go into these things in that kind of mindset. We can't be panicking and then fall out of faith. You can't panic and then all of a sudden you want to trust yourself and not God. So, you know, what he said was true. We got to know God during, you know, during the testing as well. Don't be moved.
Absolutely. That's a good point, Ronnie. You know, the Bible says that many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them delivers them from them all. And, you know, those of you who are listening right now, I know some of you are going through restrictions, constraints, limitations, setbacks, and situations that really scare you. And you know, I hope you're being encouraged right now that really just hold on. Don't give in to fear. Don't energize what if. Don't get nervous and anxious. As I'm speaking to you guys, I'm speaking to myself right now, because right now I'm dealing with some situations. I'm sure some of us in the panel right now are dealing with some situations right now that are kind of heavy. But we all have to trust in God. That's all we have. That's my comment on that. Well, this leads me to my next point, which is God will never trust what he doesn't test. So part of the reasons why we get tested in life and why we go through struggles in certain situations is because God is trying to see if he can trust us. What do I mean by this? This is what I mean. I want to talk about a man that was 30 years old. At the age of 12, he knew his mission in life. He told his mother, "I must be about my father's business." At his birth, the angels announced that he was the son of God. The wise men came from all corners of the earth and confirmed it, and yet God still did not trust him. Now he's 30 years old and was ready to start his mission, but God said, "Not yet. I need to test you first." So God took him, baptized him in water. He confirmed that, "Thou art my son, my beloved son, who I'm well pleased, but I still don't trust you." Wow. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested or tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. When he passed the test, it says that he left the desert filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. And as a matter of fact, as soon as he left the desert, he was confronted by a demon-possessed dude. This shows me that the life of a kingdom believer is proving their faith. If God had to test himself, who do we think we are? Minister Wadi, what do you think about that?
That's true. That is so true. You know, Jesus wasn't exempt from being tested, and we definitely ain't going to be exempt from being tested, you know. And you have to look at how Jesus went through the testing. How did he go through the testing? He went through the testing quoting the Word of God. He went through the testing staying true to who he was, and you know, as God and also as man. But he stood on the Word of God. And when the enemy came at him and said, "If you be the Son of God, do this," what did he say? He said, "It is written." You know, and that's what the point I was trying to make is, how do we go through the trying and the testing? God wants to see. God wants to see how we go through the trials and the testing, you know, in order for him to bestow another level of glory upon us, another level of anointing upon us. Because, you know, without no test, there's no testimony. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to say I'm an overcomer, but have you overcome some things? You know, so we have to go through the trials and the testing, you know, and also you have to look at it. God is testing you, seeing how you're going to do it. And also the enemy will come and test you, just like he did Job. Just like he told God, "Yeah, the only reason why he's serving you, because you got a hedge behind him. You got a hedge around him. I can't get to him. But you take that hedge around him and let me get at him, I bet he curses you to your face." God said, "Go ahead, but don't take his life." And what Job is a perfect example of how we should respond when we go through a trial and tribulation. Job did not curse God. And when Job and all those things, Job, what did he do? He lay prostrate before God and he began to worship God. He stayed true to God, his maker, through all that hurt, through all that pain of losing everything he had. You talking about somebody losing everything they had? This man lost everything. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we cry because we lose a house or we lose a car or our job. This man has lost everything, children, wealth, everything. And what did he do? His correct response was to worship. He did the correct response to worship God, and he did not curse God. And a lot of people, you know, would say, you know, his wife told him to curse God and die. Well, the reason why she said that, you got to look at it from her perspective. Okay, this is her husband. She's seeing this man go through all this pain, as well as her going through the pain. Those are her children, too. She told him to curse God because that was the only solution that she knew. to relieve his pain. See, some people I've heard talk this negative about the woman, but you got to look at it from her perspective. But I don't want to get off into that. That's another thing. But the way we go through a trial is the way Jesus, when he was tested, you know, and also I want to point this out, that Job was caught in between a spiritual conversation between God and the devil. Job didn't ask for this test, but the enemy saw and knew that Job was a worshiper, and he would always wake up every morning and go before God on behalf of his children. And when the enemy felt that, hey, man, this guy's doing that, so he must have some concerns or some fear about his children. Let me get at him and take his children out, and I guarantee, you know, he cursed God, but this man was a true worshiper, and he did the correct thing by responding to God in worship, you know. So that's my comment.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, listen, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about overcoming life struggles, trials, and testings and challenges, and the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Okay, overcoming life struggles, trials, and testings. Well, I want to talk about tests in relationships. Many times marriages and relationships can be questionable, and God allows us to be tested in these areas to see what the relationship is truly made of. Oftentimes people put their faith in the other person instead of in God. The danger is that the source of your faith is the quality and the object of your faith is the quantity. How much faith should you put in the man or the woman in that relationship? None. Why? Because if they are the source of your faith, then they control your belief system. Your faith should be in God. He's the one that you depend on to keep your relationship. And if anything happens, your faith does not move because it never was in that person. It was in God. Also, when it comes to the area of relationships, trust and believe that tests will come to prove out whether or not that relationship is real or is plastic. The one that God has for you will stick by you despite the challenges, despite the tests, despite the setbacks, despite the sicknesses, despite the poverty. They will stand by you, and you will know. The Bible says that if a house is built on a solid rock, it cannot be shaken. But when it's built upon shaky foundation, i.e. the challenges of life, it's going to be destroyed. Ronnie, you went through something similar where God showed you that he blessed you with a true problems wife. Can we talk about that real quick, Ronnie?
No problem. But, yeah, this situation came up when me and my wife were first, you know, getting together and things like that. And I wasn't like no super playboy. I didn't have like, you know, hundreds of girls in my life. But, you know, coming across women wasn't like the hardest thing I had problems with. So I had, enough different relationships to where I was doing it according to the world, where I was trying to control the women. I didn't trust women, and so I couldn't tell good from bad as far as, you know, if a girl was trying to open up to me, I wouldn't be able to notice because I'm so busy trying to control how this relationship is going. And, you know, I was just going along with the course of the world, you know, like it was silly. And so, but what I did was I desensitized myself, meaning I wasn't even, I messed up my perceptions as far as seeing when somebody is giving me themselves 100%. And so, you know, we were in a relationship and we moved in together. And maybe 2 weeks after we moved in, I got myself in some trouble. And, you know, I thought I was going to be gone for a while. And so me knowing that she was younger than me and things like that, I was just like, well, why don't you just go ahead and go on with your life, or, you know, we'll hook up later on, or, you know, depending on how this goes. And, you know, I told her to just go because I was going to be doing some time. So I just told her, you know, go ahead with your life. I don't want to carry this relationship on like this and then you leave me, meaning I was putting my guards up again, thinking I knew what was going to happen, trying to control the situation as far as, you know, I'll just terminate it. But, you know, the father had other plans because I told her to leave and she came back and visited me, and I just told her to go, and I tried to, you know, I kicked her out of the visit, and then she came back again. And, you know, she demonstrated to me right then and there that, you know, there was something different about this relationship than the rest. And then, you know, I spent some time away from her, and, you know, it was like about a year and some change, and she was with me through the whole thing. She kept the place, you know, I had a place to go to, and she just really showed me that this was something different, you know, and this was before we got married. And then once we got married, you know, our marriage came under attack, and you know, once again, I was able to see and heard things that I never seen in any other relationship that I had. So it was through that testing of our relationship, through that testing of our being apart from each other to see what could happen with us, that actually produced a strong bond between us. And, you know, I'm just grateful for it. But I don't think if it wasn't for the testing that we went through, I would have recognized it. I probably wouldn't have recognized it if we didn't have to go through something. Because even, you know, even gold and silver has to go through fire to be purified. And so I believe for the things that we have, when the Father deals with us, he tests them to make them stronger. So, you know, the test that we went through just made us stronger, made our bond stronger. And, you know, I'm thankful for them.
Wow, that's awesome, man. I mean, to hear that, I mean, you know, a lot of people, man, they, you know, Nikki, you can attest to this. A lot of people in relationships, and they know they're attracted to each other, and you know, everything's hunky dory, everyone's in love. But truth be told, man, I mean, you really don't know the value or the depth of that relationship until it's been tested, man. I mean, because people can split. I mean, we talked about in the past shows how, you know, the guy's going off to war to fight in the army, and he comes back with his leg blown off and he has half a leg, and then his girlfriend cheats on him or leaves him or wife leaves him, what have you. I mean, that's a test. But their love did not withstand that test, so... Nikki, man, I mean, how important is it to acknowledge these things as far as going through tests, especially in a relationship where people feel like, you know, things are hunky-dory, things is going to be good, it's always going to be like this, but they get a rude awakening when life happens?
Well, the first thing is people need to be honest with themselves in the very beginning, because it's not that things are just hunky-dory, but what it is a lot of people are building their houses, if you will, on sand and on sinking sand. And what I mean by that, and I've said it plenty of times, is because of that draw in us in humans, to want to be in a relationship, we'll get in a situation, especially believers, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the unction of the Holy Spirit. And so he shows you red flags in situations way from the gate. So a lot of times you choose to believe that the situation is a hunky-dory situation. So when the test, the quote-unquote test, now I'm doing air quotes, when the test comes, you know, all it is the person showing who they already showed you in the beginning. Now, like Ronnie was saying, if it's a real situation, when that test comes, that relationship is going to stand, you know? But where we are now as believers, we can't play by the same rules that the world plays by. And that's what's happening. A lot of believers are bringing that same mentality out of the world and trying to put a little bit of Jesus juice on it, but they're using the same, they're going about things the same way. And it's like God is showing you already, hey, stop, turn around, run. But we go forward anyway. So then it's like the person that's standing here, and even me, I can, you know, you and I have had conversations about this, Raph. We've all gone through it. I'm quite sure, Rodney, we've all gone through it. We've all been in situations to where it's like, man, we knew in the beginning that it was just that little bit of something that was there in the beginning, but maybe he was too fine, or maybe her butt was so big, we overlooked it and went past it. And what ends up happening is when the test comes, then that red flag comes back to bite us. So first and foremost, in order to be equipped to go through a test with somebody that's truly for you, you need to, as a believer, stay on your face before the Most High before you even indulge in a relationship. And if you see the red flag, can you live with it? Because a lot of times, like Ronnie was talking about trying to control a situation, a lot of times we'll see the red flag and say, well, I can be with that person. They would be perfect if they would change this. Well, what if they never change that? Well, when the test comes, that thing that you wanted them to change would be the very thing that'll bite you. So that's my comment.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Minister Roddy, I know you heard what Ron had to say and Nikki had to say, but do you have anything to add to that area as far as being tested in a relationship? I mean, you've been married for a long time. What can you add anything to that to for the listening right now?
First and foremost, let me commend Brother Ronnie, man. You got you a virtuous woman, brother. That's awesome to hear your testimony. And Sister Nikki, just, you know, Minister Nikki, just, you know, you're just full of wisdom. And I hope some of the single ladies are really listening to this young, powerful woman of God, man. She's real. The thing that, you know, both of them said was excellent. What Nikki said was excellent. What Brother Ronnie said was excellent. You know, and I've been married for 18 years, going on 19 years, and I can say truly, that I married the woman that God wanted me to marry, because there's no way that our marriage, from the things that we have gone through, and I can give you a list of them, and the things that we've gone through wouldn't have lasted. You're talking about somebody being under fire. Man, you know, my marriage was hit financially, was hit with relationship issues within the marriage. I mean, just hit with losing, I mean, just all kind of stuff. And through it all, you know, we was even hit with us being separated for a year, talking about getting a divorce. And, you know, and through it all, man, our relationship has stood because of the grace of God. A three-four code is hard to break. And we got God in the midst. And when the trials and the testing comes now, and like Minister Nikki hit it so, man, you, girl, you know you got it. She hit it so good when she said you cannot approach it the same way that the world approaches. You know, because the Bible talks about that we go through the same suffering as our brothers do in the world. But we have a hope in Christ. And, you know, and we approach situations now. When we were young married, we was all in the flesh, you know, going at each other, blah, blah, blah. But now as we have matured through the trials and the testings, now we approach things differently. Now we go to the Word of God. Now we look and see, okay, where is this coming from? Is this, you know, is this the enemy? I mean, you know, so it's this whole different mindset that we have, you know, now when the trial, because the trials and the testing is never going to stop. It's never going to stop. The enemy is always going to come. He left Jesus for a season. For a season. And, you know, he's always going to come at you with something. You know, but now we at a different place now in our marriage to where we still go through the trials, the testing. But I tell you, man, we go through it a whole different way. We go through it the way that God wants us to go through it, and that's looking to Him. You know, me and my wife have a disagreement. We disagree peaceably. There's no, you know, cussing each other out and arguing, blah, blah, blah. Now we let the Word of God be the final say. And so with the trials and the testing that we go through, the answer is Christ, no matter what it is. The answer is Christ, and that's what we turn to. And that's why our marriage has lasted 18 going on 19 years, you know, and we're still growing. I'm still learning my wife. She's still learning me. We're still growing and maturing as a married couple. So that's, you know, and in relationship, you know, and I do want to point out something that Nikki said was so true. Sometimes you do see the red flags, and I know I was in a relationship before I got with my wife. I was in a relationship with another sister, and there was all kind of red flags. But, and we had this conversation, I think either last week or the week before or something like that, we was talking about, you know, going after people outside the Word of God or something like that. I forgot what it was, but I was so caught up in how she looked physically that I ignored the red flags. And in our courtship, our little time that we was together, some trials and tribulations came, some testing came, and what was truly in her came out. And that's another thing that a test and a trial would do. When you're being squeezed, what's in you is going to come out of you. And I tell you, man, it was some stuff that came out of that girl. It didn't matter how fine she looked. I right then, it was Valentine's Day. I let it go. I saw the light, brother. I let that one go. I dumped her right on Valentine's Day. I said, enough of this. I'm gone. I'm so glad. I thank God that we went through what we went through because, you know, my eyes was open, and it was during that solid tribulation. What was in her really came out. So that's my comment.
And that's so important though, because I mean I've been in situations like that myself personally. I know a lot of us on the panel have too. And also it's important to God uses that to expose who we have in our lives. I mean because if they're showing that right now, I mean imagine when the real trials of life hit us. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like how can you put your faith and your trust in that human being when they've shown to be unstable? When they allow fear and confusion to always grip their minds and they always question things about, you know what I'm saying? Man, that's crazy.
That's
man.
Good.
But you know what though, I want to talk about this is something that I really, you know, you guys have to praise me in this area, man, because I want to talk about the test of patience, and I have very little patience. I want to be honest with you, and that's something I'm still working on. And one of the reasons why we go through tests of patience and trials and tribulations is because God wants to really allow us to trust in his plan and his timing and fulfilling things in our lives. And often they take much longer than we expect, but in the meantime, we go through severe trials and tribulations, and it may seem to last a long time, but the seasons are a test of our patience. Are we willing to wait till God's perfect timing? Our impatience will only create more suffering in our lives. I remember when I was dealing with a situation where, again, Raj tried to make things happen in his own strength, and I made it a lot worse. And it cost me more money. If I had waited, I wouldn't have paid anything. Nikki, I can hear your thoughts right now, Nikki. What you got to say about this, man?
What we've already been talking about and what I kind of touched on earlier is just relinquishing that control to the Father. And we can't, with patience, with confidence, with all of that, first of all, when you're going through your faith being tested, if your confidence is shaken, then you know, when somebody is not confident in themselves, then what is it? They have doubt. Well, when you have doubt, you're double-minded. And when you break that down, you're vacillating back and forth. When you break that down, the word says a double-minded man can receive nothing from God. Okay, so when we go into dealing with the patience thing, it's like, okay, God, I trust you, but I trust you on my timetable. And if you're not moving when I need you to move, then watch out so I can do this. But like you said, it doesn't do nothing but make either the trial longer, like Minister Rodney has said earlier, and I've said before too, how long you stay in the desert, how long you deal with the trial, is on you. You know what I mean? So it's like And you can't put God, God is God. You can't put God on a timetable. So the best thing to do, you know what I mean? I mean, because we all go through something. So the best thing to do as far as with patience, if you're going to trust God, you're going to trust God all the way. That's just like if you believe his word, you believe every letter that's in that word. You don't take pieces out of it because it's convenient for you, and the parts that's hard you don't want to deal with. No, it don't work like that. If the water is clean, it's clean. If it got a drop of dirt in there, it's dirty all the way. And so that's the same thing with patience, with confidence, with your walk, period. You know, you have to just believe and trust God all the way. But with patience especially, it's about surrendering your will and your control to God. Because when you are a controlling person or used to having things a certain way like you and I have talked about before, because I was the same way, it's hard to relinquish that control to a God that you know exists but you really don't see. And it's like, okay, God, I know you're going to get me through this somehow, but what about this life is? I know you're going to get me through this somehow, but I got to have this business life to take care of tomorrow, and my bank account or the person's bank account is in the red, you know? God, my mortgage is due, but, you know, how am I going to pay my tithe? Should I pay my mortgage first, or should I talk? You know what I mean? You can't put God on your timetable. You just have to trust. You have to let it go all the way around, or you're just going to keep going through it over and over and worse, and one trial is the same trial, just with a different face on it, over and over until you learn.
Absolutely. That's an excellent point, Nikki. I want to read a couple of scriptures in. I want to read James 1, chapter 1, verse 24. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I want to read Hebrews 10, 34 through 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receives the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, of tender mercy. That's James 5, 7 through 11. And Genesis 16, 1 through 2. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, Lord, has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant, but perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. That's an example of impatience. But those are some of the scriptures that I just wanted to read. And Minister Rodney, man, what do you think about those scriptures right there?
Some powerful scriptures, you know, especially one in James where it talks about patience having its perfect work in you, that you are lacking nothing. And being perfect, you know, and the perfect part is being perfect in Christ, you know, and that we're lacking nothing in Christ when we're patient. Like Minister Nikki was saying, release and let go. Let go and let God, you know, and having patience and let the work of patience, you know, have its work in you. And I think one of the things that when you relinquish, you know, everything to God, you know, that begins, then God can really work on your behalf. But when you're holding onto it, you know, you, like Nikki was saying, you're trusting God on your own terms, you know, that's just going to delay you, because God is not going, he's not working on your behalf according to your own timetable. He's working according to his. You don't control God. See, and that's the problem. A lot of people want to serve God, you know, And do this walk, this faith walk, the way they see it, instead of doing it the way that God has said in his word. you know, and that just brings about delays in your life, you know, until you get to that point to where you recognize and you see that you can't fix the situation. You know, you got to be patient. Let patience have its perfect work in you, which is building your character in God, and that you may lack nothing, you know. And those scriptures, you know, being patient, you know, I mean, it's just something that, you know, you have to do. I mean, we all have to be patient. There's times where I want it now. I'm going to tell you a situation where I did something that I shouldn't have did, and I kind of regret it now. I had some stuff I need to take care of, so I had, you know, I went got some money, which I shouldn't have even touched. And it's kind of like, man, if I just could have been more patient and waited, you know, on God and trusted God in that situation, because what I was believing for, it showed up. It just showed up at a different time, and, you know, and touching some other money that I should have never touched. You get penalties and all this other stuff. It's like, man, if I just would have waited a little bit longer, just been more patient, I wouldn't have, you know, because and bottom line, what I'm saying is, it costs you not to trust God. I mean, it costs you not to trust God. It costs you not to be patient. So, you know, I encourage anybody, man, when you're standing and you're trusting in God, be patient and wait upon Him. He'll lead you and He'll direct you in what you need to do. Don't get ahead of God. When you get ahead of God, it's going to cost you. And that's my comment.
Absolutely. That's an excellent point. Well, guys, you know what? We're heading towards the end of the show, and we've got a few minutes, but I want to, like, leave some time for Minister Rodden to kind of encourage the people today. And but before we do that, I want to get some closing comments from Mr. Ronnie Ambrose. Ronnie, what do you think of today's show, sir? Here we go. I got him on mute. Ronnie, I'm sorry. I had you on mute,
like,
man.
Hello?
Ronnie, how you doing? Hello? Yeah, I'm sorry. I had you on mute, man.
I'm here. You hear me? I just want to let everybody know that testing is good. The Bible says testing is good because the testing adds to your, it makes you stronger. It makes you, it builds your faith. You have more courage to trust God because you've been through things, trusting God, and you've seen God come through. Your patience is built up, meaning my patience is in, you know, the Father's strength. Testing is good. Testing and trials are always good. You know, like track meets and stuff like those are trials to see who's the best. You know what I mean? These advance you. Trials in sports, they advance you. You get advancement. It's the tempting that's not good. The tempting is from the enemy. The test is from the Father. And if it's coming from God, it can only help you. So what you want to build is your endurance, your patience. You want to raise your level of trust in God. So when the big things come, you pass the test, and you grow because of it, and you become stronger because of it. So testing is good. That's my
Absolutely.
Closing comment.
Absolutely, good comment. Sister Nikki.
I would say that what I would want, my last comment would be, because we do go through tests and trials as believers, the closer you get, when you set aside that time for God before you start your day, if possible, or sometime throughout the day, when you just go into your prayer closet and you lay out before the Father and you do your devotion, it makes your walk and the things that you're going to go through so much easier versus when you're not having that, because it builds a relationship. The only way to build a relationship and to become intimate with the Father or even a person is to spend time. How can I say I know you if I haven't even spent time with you? If I spent time with you, I don't even know what your reaction is. I may have heard about you. I may have heard what you would do, but I don't know personally. So I would encourage the believers, you want to make it a daily habit to spend time with the Father praying in the spirit, going over a few scriptures, and, you know, as you can increase more time with him, do so. Because when those tests and trials come, you don't want to be scrambling and trying to pick up straws, because the Father will tell you, a lot of times he'll tell you exactly what moves to make even before the test and the trial comes. But if you're not spending time with him, a lot of times you're not even going to recognize his voice. You're going to, a lot of people say, my first mind told me I should have did yada, yada, yada. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. But if you're not spending time with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to call the Holy Spirit by his proper name, which is the Holy Spirit. So I would say it is detrimental to your walk, to your sanity, to your salvation, to stretching your faith, you know, to spend time with the Father. Set aside, I'm talking about no cell phone, no internet, no bull calling, no, just you and God. Get into that secret place, because he will prepare you. And sometimes when you're going through a trial, it'll seem like he left, but his word said he's never left. So if you build up your relationship, then you will be able to trust him to know, even though I can't hear you, even though I can't see where you're leading me, I'm going to follow you anyway. And that's my last comment.
Wow, absolutely. That's an awesome comment. Well, Mr. Rodney, I want to, we've got a few minutes. I want to kind of like let you, you know, encourage the listeners today. I know you got something on your heart that you want to share. And unless you have the floor right now, sir, and please, you know, please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to encourage all the believers and all those that are listening to the podcast tonight. You know, in Romans 8:18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You know, and the glory that's going to be revealed in us is going to be awesome. You know, and these present trials, tribulations, testing, they're all working for us. They all working for us for another level of glory. And something that Minister Nikki was saying, and this is something that I've always have admonished and encouraged believers to do. You have to spend the time with God. You know, you have to spend that time with God in the morning, you know, in the morning, afternoon, at night, you know, whenever you can get it in. But, you have to spend time with the Father. Because when you spend time with the Father, you know, you begin to build that relationship with the Father. And not only like Minister Nikki was saying, that you begin to learn and know the Holy Spirit voice, but you begin to know and understand the heart of God. And the Bible says that faith worketh through love. See, faith worketh through love. And it says that perfect love casts out all fear. Now, that perfect love is when you understand and know the love that God has for you. It casts out the fear. You know, it casts out all fear. The fear of what? Of God not moving in your situation. The fear of you falling. The fear of you not coming out. You know, and the Bible also talks about, like I said, that faith working through love. When you understand and you know that God loves you, man, your faith is working for you. Your faith is going to work for you because you have that relationship with God and you know the heart of God and you know that God is for you and not against you. And the Bible also says that if he gave us his son, which is his precious gift, God cannot give you nothing more than what he already gave you in Christ Jesus. That was, God gave you his best, which was his son. But the Bible also says, now if he freely gave us Christ, how will he not with him give us all things? You know, and God is for you. He's not against you. You know, God is always pulling for you, you know, and we just have to learn how to trust him. You know, and it's easier to trust God when you have a relationship with God. And one of the things that I was saying earlier about my marriage and stuff like that, how we approach things differently than we did when we were younger. Why? Because we have matured and grown in God, and we see things differently. And so that means that we process the trials, tribulations differently. We don't process them the same way we used to. And see, and that's the benefit of knowing God. When things come your way, you learn how to process things a whole lot different. You don't process them from the flesh, from a fleshly point of view. You process them from the lens of the Word of God. And that's when you have to be in the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God. You have to build that relationship with God. Like I said, God's Word is His will. God's Word is His will. And everything in this Bible that the Word of God tells us we can have, we can be, we can do. So, you know, and it just takes faith and believing and trusting in God and allowing Him to work through us, you know. And these trials and tribulations that we're going through, you know, Jesus said that we will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for He has already overcome the world. See, our victory is in Christ. He already gave us the victory because He has gained the victory. He's already defeated the enemy. So we have victory. No matter what it is we're going through or what we're facing, just know that you're coming out. You know, just like the three Hebrew boys, they went into the fire, but who was in the fire with them? That fourth person, which was Christ. Who was in the lion's den with Daniel? Christ. You know, the Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It never said that the weapon would not be formed. It just said it wouldn't prosper. So just be encouraged. Know that God is for you. He's not against you. God got your best interest at hand. And God is working in your life. Even when you feel He's not working, He's working. So just stay the course. Stay in faith, you know, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to quit. That's what he's banking on. He wants you to quit, you know. But don't quit. You stand in faith and you stand strong. And know that God is working on your behalf. And that's my closing comments.
Wow, absolutely, guys. Well, you heard it, man. You've heard awesome people like Nikki. We heard Ronnie Ambrose with some awesome comments and gave his testimony about him and his wife, pal. Their relationship and their marriage was tested, but it withstood the test because God had truly blessed him with a Proverbs virtuous wife. And we had the closing comments from Mr. Rodney Fulton, who gave us an awesome closing of trusting the Lord and allowing us to go through these tests. Well, guys, you've heard it. You've heard on the show tonight. Download the show and listen to it on your iPhones, on your Android phones, on your tablet PCs, and listen to it over and over and over again when you're going through situations and testings. Even next week, some of you may be going through some situations right now where it feels like the walls are closing in on you. It feels like the ground is going to open up and swallow you up, but you need to trust in God and you need to trust the situation that you're going through, knowing that God is maybe testing your patience, maybe testing your faith, but He's got you. We learned from the show tonight that testings and trials and struggles are part of our spiritual growth. They come to prove our character. They grow our faith. They demonstrate the power of God. And more importantly, they allow us to become more skilled in God's system of faith, trust in Him. That's all I got to say tonight, guys. I'm not really saying a whole lot today. That's pretty much it. I'm just absorbing what Nikki said. I'm taking in what Ronnie said. I'm taking in what Minister Rodney said. So, guys, Can We Talk Radio? That's who we are. That's what we do. We'll be here same time next Friday. Actually, as a matter of fact, please tune in next week Friday because we've got a good show for the ladies, How to Let Your Boaz Find You. That's going to be a good show. What do you think about that title, Nikki?
Oh, I think it's awesome. And I'm coming with plenty of Holy Ghost knowledge for that.
Nikki's coming with all guns blazing. She's going to come with all guns blazing. So, yeah. Well, people, we're out. God bless. Have a good week. Have a blessed weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.